Good morning to each of you. It's a privilege to be together again one more time on this side of eternity. Thanks Gail and Marcy and family for the songs of heaven, what we have to look forward to. And like Mark and some others have mentioned, the events of the week of laying our brother to rest, our brother Aaron, and also the end of the week we had the privilege to be at a wedding. And with the beautiful picture, the theme of the bride coming for the bridegroom and how he's coming for a spotless bridegroom. And just the picture of encouragement for us to be faithful until God calls us home. The title of the message this morning is Never Give Up. Never Give Up. There's a cartoon that shows a little fellow kneeling beside his bed at prayer time. He says with a measure of disgust, he said, "Dear God, Uncle Jim still doesn't have a job. Sis still doesn't have a date for the social. Grandma is feeling sick. I'm tired of praying for this family and not getting results." How many can identify with being tired of praying and wanting to give up and not seeing results? And possibly some of us have quit praying because we have given up and not seeing anything happen. And we give up. Things that God felt, that we felt God laid in our hearts to pray for, that we really care about. We pray for a while, and we pray for a while, and we don't see anything maybe, and we tend to give up and quit praying instead for various reasons. It could be for a lost child who has not come to know Jesus. And we pray and we pray. And sometimes we give up. Or for a friend of yours who is struggling or going through some deep things, we commit to pray for them. And do we follow through? What about relationships that are broken? I'm sure if we were honest, in our lives there's relationships that are broken around us through one means or another, and one relationship or another, closer or friend or work or whatever. And we feel laid in our heart to pray for those people and pray for the relationship. And sometimes it may look hopeless, and we tend to give up and quit praying. I was just reminded again this week of the story of Aaron's family, of how they persevered in prayer for restoration in their relationships. How God was faithful. Just a beautiful picture. I just want to bless the family this morning for that picture you gave us. Or maybe it's healing for sickness. Maybe it's ongoing and you don't see much happening and we tend to give up. Or for direction for a job. I think about the disciples, how in the garden, Jesus told them to watch and pray. And he came back and they'd fallen asleep. And I'm not preaching this morning because I have this all together. I'm preaching because I need the help too. I feel like I'm the one who's fallen asleep and given up on prayer. And this is a study I needed for myself. And I hope we can all benefit this morning. Now, I think if we're honest, we've probably all given up praying for certain things in our lives and just given up and saying, does it even matter if I pray? You know, God's in control. Why does it matter if I pray? Tucked in the book of Luke in chapter 18, there's a story of a widow. You can open your Bibles, Luke chapter 18. I'll read verses 1 through 8. Jesus had just been teaching his disciples on his return and the kingdom of God, and he knew that there would be a time period in between here where they would face adversity and opposition, and trouble would come their way. And he mentioned many times in his teachings that prayer was important in the relationship to communicate to God, to never give up praying. So he spoke often of persevering in prayer and to never give up, encourage them to keep praying. Keep praying. And that's the encouragement I want to give us this morning, is to keep on praying. to never give up. Let's read this story in Luke 18, verses 1 through 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that a man ought to always pray and not to faint, saying, There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in the city. She came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I have three things I want to encourage us with this morning. And the first one is prayer will not always be answered immediately. And verse 1 refers to that. It talks about that you pray and faint not. So he infers that it's going to be time when you pray and answers won't come right away, as soon as we think they should. So he's telling us to persist in prayer, in our prayers to him. But sometimes we approach prayer like we approach life. In life, we start on endeavors, and we have all good intentions of persisting and keeping on, and whether it's, you fill in the blank, of where you've determined you're going to persist in an area. And if you don't see results, we tend to give up. Whether it's exercise or dieting or whatever, you probably all experience that you do something for a while, you don't get results, and you say, what's the use, and I'll just give up. And I think likewise in prayer, we tend to fall in the same category where when we pray and things don't happen in a timely fashion, we tend to give up. And we say, it's not happening the way I thought, so I'll just give up. But I want us to understand that God has a perfect plan. And I believe that prayer is aligning my will with God's will. And I believe that if we persist in prayer, God does so much in us and through us. And you can probably testify to times where you prayed and prayed hard for something, for someone, for something. And you realized God was doing a work in your heart as you were persisting in prayer, that something changed in your heart towards someone or about something. And God worked in your life to bring about a huge change in your heart. So I hope we can come to a place this morning where we don't give up on prayer quickly, that we don't give up, that we persevere in our prayers, and that we recognize that a delay is what Jesus told us will happen. He said delays will happen. And I don't want us to make the mistake of equating a delay in answering their prayer of God is not answering our prayer. Don't equate that because nothing, you don't see anything happening, that God doesn't care or that God's not working. Or sometimes we can say that what I'm praying for maybe isn't in the will of God, and so I tend to give up as well. But I believe we can pray for something within the will of God and still not have answers immediately. And I was thinking about what it means to pray in the will of God. And so I want us to, if we're going to persevere in prayer, if we're going to pursue in prayer, I think we need to understand what it means to pray in the will of God. I think one of man's highest goals should be to bring honor and glory to God with his life. And I believe praying in the will of God is part of bringing honor and glory to God. So first of all, I think we need to ask God for wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, in James 1:5, it says, If any man lack wisdom, he should ask of God. So if we're wanting to know what God's will is, let's ask God for wisdom. And also it says, if you ask for wisdom, we must trust that God is gracious and willing to give to us. And so as we come asking, let's ask God for wisdom. Second, we need to trust that God is gracious and willing to answer our prayers. And the third thing is, let's believe. We must believe without a doubt that God hears and answers our prayers. James 1:6 says, when you pray, you must believe and not doubt. So praying according to God's will includes asking for wisdom and having faith that God hears and will answer our prayers. Some of the things Scripture told us to pray for, or the Bible commands us to pray for, is praying in God's will. I wrote a few of them down here. We are told to pray for enemies. Scripture teaches us to pray for enemies, and that's praying in the will of God. He encourages us to send out missionaries. So to pray to send out missionaries is praying in the will of God. He says, pray that you enter not into temptation. He said, pray for the ministers of the word. Pray for government authorities. Pray for relief from affliction. Pray for healing of fellow believers. And when we pray prayers that God commands us to pray, we are praying in the will of God. Also, there's a few more. It says, pray with the right motivation. It says, when you ask and you do not receive because you ask for the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get for your pleasure. That's James 4, verse 3. So there's times when we can pray that we are praying for the wrong motives, and that's not praying in the will of God. He also asks us to pray for a spirit of forgiveness towards other people. That's praying in the will of God. The prayers of thanksgiving are prayers in the will of God. The last one I have down here is relying on the Spirit in our prayers. I like Romans 8, 26 and 27 says, we do not know what we ought to pray for the Spirit itself intercedes for us and groans with groans and words that cannot be expressed. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saint in accordance with the will of God. That's an awesome promise, that there's times in our lives when we're deeply discouraged, gone through hard times, and sometimes we just don't know how to pray. And the Spirit makes intercession to God for us. That's an awesome comfort as believers, that the Holy Spirit has the ability to take our what's gone on our hearts and take it to God and just bring it to the Father. So maybe you've given up in prayer, given up on praying for some things. And because it's not answered in a timely time frame, you say, well, it must not be in the will of God. And I hope as we've looked a little at what the will of God is, that we continue to go back to our closets, to keep on praying, to pray in the will of God, to ask God for wisdom, and to have faith and believe that he will hear and he will answer our prayers. The second thing is our success depends on it. Persistence in prayer, in praying, our success in our Christian life depends on it. And I believe persistence is a barometer of our faith in God. Our persistence in prayer is a barometer of our faith in God. I want to use a personal illustration. Sometimes my personal illustrations are a little embarrassing to me, but I think they bring out a point. I'm not sure how long ago I was on the top of our truck. We load a pneumatic tanker. It has three holes in it, and we load salt into the trailer from a big overhead bin. And on the bottom of the bin, there's a valve. I was on the truck loading the truck one day, and the driver and I got our communications mixed up. And I thought he was going one way, and the driver went the other way. And it came to the point where I had to make a decision to either jump or hang on to the valve in the bottom of the bin. So I grabbed the valve in the bottom of the bin. And so I was hanging in midair from the bin as the truck backed out from under the bin. Now, at that point, I don't think you would need, I needed a motivational speech to hang on to that valve, because my safety depended on me hanging on to that valve. You probably get a picture of me hanging there that, yeah. I made some noise and then the truck backed up. But my point is, I didn't need any motivation to hold on. No motivation. I was tightly, and I had scars to prove it. But I was wrapped on there. I was going to hang on until help arrived or until something happened. And I believe that's the same way that we need to do in our prayer life, that perseverance is essential. Perseverance is essential to our success. By success, I mean accomplishing God's will and God's purposes. It's essential that we keep on persevering. We need to understand there's no other option. There's no other hope. There's no other way that we can accomplish God's purposes but to keep on praying, no matter how long it takes for that prayer to be answered. You know, we can try to take things in our own hand. We can try to make things happen. We can try to change people. We can try all we want. But until we surrender our will to the Father's will and keep persevering in prayer, allow God to work in people's hearts, allow God to work in my heart, allow God to work in other people's heart in situations, that God's purposes are fulfilled and accomplished. In this parable, Jesus could have said a certain woman in a certain town came to a certain judge. But he didn't say that. He said a certain widow. And that's significant because in those days, a widow was usually a person without money and resources. She had no husband to defend her, and she had no social status to defend her. So she was totally depending on coming to this judge and persisting and persisting and persisting for the judge to protect her, whatever was going on. She had to come and come and come because she didn't have a husband. She probably didn't have money to bargain. And her social status was not that he was going to lend her an ear. So she came and she came and she came. And finally, he heard her. So she had no other alternative. Now, the widow in this story represents us as God's people. And we need to realize we need to persevere and persevere and persevere because we have no other source. We have no other option. Just like the widow had no other option but to keep coming and keep coming. We need to come to the point where we realize that our source is in God, our strength is in God, and our lives are in God's hands. And God can do so much more than we can. And we need God's touch in our lives. We need God's hand in our lives. The third thing is that you are special to God. You are special to God. In this parable, we have a widow who is asking a judge for justice. Now, she is a nobody to the judge. She is basically a nobody to this judge. She's not special to him at all. He's less inclined to listen to her than it would be his mother or his daughter. Or she, in that day, a widow was basically a nobody. And so he wasn't going to listen to her. Also, the judge is described as unjust. In verse 2, it says he didn't care about people. He didn't care about God. He didn't care about man. He didn't fear God. And so in this parable, we have a nobody going to an uncaring judge, and he met her request just because she persevered. Now, Jesus is not comparing God to an unjust judge, nor us to a nobody. But rather in contrast, he's referring to God as our righteous judge and us as a special people. He says, how much more is God going to listen to us, a special people, a people who was bought by his own blood? How much more is a righteous God going to listen to his people? And it's incentive for us to keep on praying. God does care. And we can expect him to respond to our prayers, but we need to keep on praying and keep on praying and keep on praying. God will respond to our prayers because of who he is and because of who we are by his grace. Not anything of our own, but who we are by his grace. Verse 8 talks about, it says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Some versions say quickly, some versions say suddenly. This expression could mean that God will not delay long in hearing and answering our prayers or the requests of his people. Or it could refer that he will answer them suddenly rather than gradually. So speedily is a relative term, or speedily or quickly is a relative term. If I said to you, boy, they got engaged pretty quick or quickly, what would that mean to you? Would that mean they got engaged in a week? Would that mean they got engaged in a month? Would that mean they got engaged in a year? So right away in your minds, quickly means different things. He got to first base pretty quickly. Well, that depends on who's running. And I won't use any names. But it's a relative term. And for some, quickly means different things. And so I think as we think about our request to God, we need to focus on God as a God, a just God, who hears our prayers and who answers our prayers. And he calls us to keep on coming and keep on coming and keep on coming. We may ask, why is there any delays in our prayers? There's a number of factors that play into it. We have our will and we have God's will. We have what we would want. I think of many times in my personal life, I pray for what I want and what I think should happen and not praying for the will of God, what God has in mind. We have our limited view of here and now, and God has the big picture. So many times, as we look back in our lives, there's things that, man, God, I think I'm glad you didn't answer the prayer the way I prayed. You did such a much better job than what I wanted. We have our selfish desires and we have God's plan. And that's where we need to surrender our will to God's will. And like I said before, I think God does so much in our hearts when we persist in prayer. So much in our hearts and changing our hearts and molding us into the person he wants us to be through this situation, whatever we're praying for. Jesus did not directly answer that question in this passage of why he delays in answering our prayers. But I think the interesting question is at the end of verse 8, it says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That jumped out at me as I was studying this passage. Why, in the midst of a passage on prayer, does he say, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? In a passage where he's talking about persevering in prayer. I believe the answer is that persevering in prayer and faith go hand in hand. The one is the evidence of the other. I believe persevering in prayer is evidence of our faith in God. Like I said earlier, I think sometimes our barometer of our faith in God is brought out in our prayer life. Our barometer of our faith in God is shown in our prayer life. And I believe when God delays in answering our prayers, it's not because he's reluctant into hearing the prayers of his children or ignoring the needs of his children or doesn't want to bless his children. I believe it's our timing and God's timing. Our picture and God's picture is so much different. And also I believe in the delay, God wants to do so much in strengthening our faith, in strengthening our faith in him as people. Do we really believe and trust that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think? You know, we read that verse, we claim that verse, but is that reflected in how we live? Are we living in a way that reflects that I do have faith in God? Are we praying in a way that reflects I do have faith in God? And I believe this is a subject for another time, but I believe living by faith is a daily test. You think of Abraham when he went to the altar and laid Isaac on the altar. He was given a test in the moment of his faith and trust in God. And moment by moment, decision by decision, we decide Are we going to obey God, or are we going to obey ourselves? Are we going to heed to the voice of the Spirit? And we can draw strength from how God's been faithful in the past. We can draw strength from God's promises in the future. But we live in the moment, and we need to be faithful in the moment. Living by faith is acting on what we know and what God has said. Living by faith is persisting and persevering in prayer. Living by faith is praying, realizing that God is at work for His purposes. Living by faith is forgiving those who hurt us. Living by faith is telling the good news. Living by faith is being the hands and feet of Jesus. Living by faith is holding the Word of God as final authority in our lives. Living every moment in our lives for the honor and glory of God. Devoted to God, totally devoted to God. And he asked a question at the end of this passage. Will he find faith on the earth when he comes back? And that's a question I want to leave you with this morning. When he comes back, will he find us faithful? Are we committed to being a people that's totally trusting in a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this lesson this morning on calling us to persevere in prayer, to be people of prayer, totally committed and relying on you. God, we need to come to the place where we realize that you are the all we have. You are not only the best option, you are the option. And God, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. God, you are so unfailing, and you give and you give and you give. Lord, there's times we fall short in being faithful to you and to our promises and commitment to you. Especially in this area of prayer, Lord. I pray that we would each renew our commitment to praying, to being prayer warriors, to be steadfast in our prayers, be persistent, to come and to come and to come. Lord, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives, around us, in our communities, and in the world. Lord, help us to join your plan, your purposes, to be faithful to your Spirit as you lead us day by day. In Jesus' name, amen.